now on the Weekend Wake Up. It's time for a taste of the West.
Everything seems to be working really well today.
Are you being sarcastic, Sue? Because that's
maybe. But I'm just saying, you come back, Sue, and yeah. You know things don't buttons don't work.
It's my aura that I've got. It just saps it all up.
I'm glad I'm not the only person that has the ability to make computers stop working.
Ah. Oh. Thank you. It's just this electromagnetic field that's around, probably from drinking just way too much gin.
Really?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Do you like a gin? It's been a long time since I've actually had a glass of gin, to be honest with you.
I used to, have a gin and tonic. But my arms get heavy. That's true.
With other drinks as well, Sue. On the line is, now, I don't know if you're aware or not, but there's lots of great boutique alcohol that's being done on small scales and being done locally, including the Hippocampus Metropolitan Distillery, who are putting together fantastic collections of gins and vodkas. And distiller Alex Poulsen is on the line. Alex, morning to you.
Hello, Alex.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, very well.
I imagine this would be a labour of love, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You can do a whole bunch of different things in life, and decided that.
Making
alcohol was what I wanted to do. So.
And I'm sure your mum and dad went. No, that's not a real career.
I originally I was doing biochemistry and pharmacology at uni, and I said, finished that, and I was like, you know what, this isn't for me. I think I'll become a brewer originally, and. Dad was like, yeah, wicked, awesome. And then Mum wasn't too happy, but now that I'm doing vodka and gin, though, so it's all good now.
So how did you fall into distilling rather than brewing? Because I imagine it's a totally different process.
Similar processes. You're just sort of taking it a step further. So I was a brewer by trade. I ended up working overseas in Norway. They had a brewery with a small distillery attached. And so I was sort of having a play on that, and I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. This is sort of a whole... essentially new creative field. So I sort of fell in that way. I came back and I was maybe making some rum and gin in my backyard using a little spill out I made out of a trash can.
So this is real bathtub business going on there, initially?
Initially, yeah. And then the guys at Hippocampus, who were setting up Hippocampus, I worked with them previously at Little Creatures. They heard that I had distilling experience and gave me a call and said if I wanted to head up the Hippocampus.
So it's gin and vodka that you guys...
That's correct, yeah.
...still. Okay. What's the similarities? So, like, are they kind of in the same... Because they're both pretty... Initially, anyway, they're both pretty pure spirits, aren't they?
They're both white spirits. So what that means is we're not doing any maturation. There's no waiting in oak. So essentially, we do the distillation, we blend it back with water, and it's, for all intents and purposes, ready to drink, essentially. So they are both similar in that regard, yeah. Gin is essentially flavoured vodka, so the dominant characteristic has to be juniper. But you are right, they are very, very similar spirits.
So take us from the very beginning, where what you actually start with as a base ingredient, Alex?
So when we make our vodka, a lot of vodkas these days are sort of essentially diluted industrial alcohol. We thought that was a little bit...
You ought to see the look on Sue's face with that.
But
seriously, so there's a lot of big... How much
you say you can
there?
Clean with it.
Yeah, but how much is out there? Is that kind of percentage?
You can buy it in at an industrial grade at 95% alcohol, and what they'll do is they'll dilute it back down to 40%, put it in a bottle. It'll be, you know, tall frosted glass bottle, a lot of references to icebergs and theories and things like that.
Filtered water.
But there'd be a fair percentage out there that would fall into that category, is what you're saying.
It's quite large. And we said we don't want anything to do with that. We're a very small distillery. Our only hope at competing is making the absolute best possible spirits we can. So we wanted to have complete control over the process. So we actually make a wheat-based vodka. So it's wheat grown from double yolk. It's very soft wheat.
That's my hometown area. There you go.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Excellent. So... We source the wheat from one farm, so Rodney and Jamie Frost.
Yeah.
So we mill that wheat, so we crush it up into a flour. We cook it, so throw it in some hot water, convert all the starch to sugar, and we ferment it for about a week, so the yeast consume all the sugar and essentially create alcohol. Then we've got this 10% alcohol sort of porridge-like slurry.
And the smell of that, sorry for interrupting, Alex, the smell of that would be just so strong.
It's very pleasant. It's like a sort of like a baking bread sort of
mixed
with yogurt kind of thing.
Yeah, sour but sweet.
So it is quite appetizing to see that. It looks a bit strange, but we then do our first distillation. This is called a stripping one, so it's very coarse distillation. We're essentially removing solids, removing water, and concentrating the alcohol. So we end up with what's called low wines, about 30% alcohol. This stuff's actually kind of gross, so there's a whole bunch of diffusal oils and higher alcohols and things you don't want. So we do a second distillation. So this is an actual spirit distillation. This is where we do a separation. So there's three parts, heads, hearts, and the tails. The heads and the tails are both, they've got nasty compounds. They're not too tasty.
When you say,
how do you get them out?
Sorry, when you say heads, hearts, and tails, are you talking about where it sits in the still?
No, as you distill it, it's coming out the other end from the spirit pipe, so it's a continuous stream. The first stuff that comes out, that's the head.
Right, I'm with you.
That's not good. So that's got your methanol in it. It's got like a real nail polish remover sort of vibe to it, so we're not really interested in that. So that gets
it's not a great flavour profile.
No,
so that goes into the
car.
That goes
into that kind of thing.
That goes into the petrol tank. The next one.
So the next part is the heart. So this is the good stuff. This is essentially alcohol and water and some flavouring and things like that. So it's really sweet. It's really rich. When you get sort of to the pinnacle of the heart's run, there's absolutely no burn. So that's all the good stuff. So we do a really tight cut around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you continue to distill, you get into what's called the tails. So if I was making whiskey or rum and I was going to stick it in barrel for 10, 20, 30 years maybe, I actually want some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it tastes really bitter and gross, but over time, it breaks down into other more delicious compounds. We're making vodka, so we're not interested in those, so they get discarded as well. So in terms of what we actually get in a yield perspective is absolutely nothing. It's a very, very small amount. But the vodka we make is, as a result, very, very good. So we do two of those spirit distillations, so we're discarding the heads and tails twice. So we're only getting
wow,
the
you
heart,
really are
heart, if it makes sense.
Narrowing it down.
So,
aren't you?
Through the copper pots that you use, the batches that you use, is that important? Is what you actually distill it in important to add to the flavour?
Absolutely. Not so much it's about controlling your process, so that will affect the flavour. So we have a distillery all the way from Stuttgart, Germany. So the Karl family have been making stills for about 150 odd years. They make about stills a year, so all handmade, very high German quality. So it's quite lucky to have one. So our still's named Kylie. Generally, stills always have a girl's name. I'm not sure why.
They like the car. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so our friends over at Sipsmith in London, they've got three stills, Prudence, Patience, and Constance. We thought, look, we want a proper Australian name, so we thought Kylie.
No, and also Shazza. That could
if
have
you
been.
Get another one, keep that in mind.
Look, if you get another one, we'll give it a thought, but we'll hold your breath.
Now, so that process, how long does that take?
So at this point, we've done the mashing, the fermentation, three distillations. You're looking at about 2 weeks of work after the vodka.
Yeah.
And then there, that's pretty much ready to roll, isn't it? Sort of past
just
that
about.
Stage.
So we do. So we've done the second spirit distillation. We blend it back with water and we package it up. So we put it in bottles.
So
it then has to sit in bottle for about a month, just because it goes through a process called bottle shot. So all the flavors need to sort of reintegrate and come back together.
From 450 liter still, how many liters of vodka comes out of that?
Not a lot.
10.
So one. So all our bottles are a batch, so you can see what batch you're drinking.
Yeah.
One batch of vodka so will have about 5,000 litres of that initial beer-like porridge substance.
Yeah.
We'll end up with only about 90 cases worth at the end, so about 500 bottles, which is not a lot.
No.
Yeah, 10% return.
Yeah, very, very small, because that's the only part we can use, really.
The angels get a decent share of it.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's... We're not even talking about angels here. We're talking about the sludge, essentially. So I'd love to say it was the angels here, but not so much.
But technically not. So now then, to make gin, then you have to combine that spirit that you've created there with all of the, what do they call them, the botanicals?
Botanicals, yes. So we take out those botanicals, we macerate them in spirit overnight in the still.
Yeah.
So basically we're making a traditional London dry style of gin. So it has to be very juniper focused. So we have juniper, coriander seeds, angelica root, licorice root, orris root, cassia bark, cubeb pepper, lemon peel,
Are you giving away everything here?
Well, yes. I was going to say, that must be
I can tell you what botanicals are in it, but the actual how much we use, that's the trick.
That's the trick. Yeah, so how long does it stay?
Different gins use different amounts and different kinds of botanicals. Yes. So we're making a classic London dry style. So just simple 10 botanicals. Some gins have as few as 3, some as many as 50. So we're kind of, you know, on the lower end. So we've got enough to give you a nice botanical complexity, but not enough that it all gets sort of muddied and lost. So
overwhelming. Now,
yeah. So we're basically. Sorry, go on.
No. Also, while we're doing that, and you actually have got the still happening in the vodka and the gin, you also have a cellar door, but also a spirit school. Is that for people who want to learn more or how to learn to actually? The process?
All of it, really. So basically every other Wednesday we have usually about 20 or 30 people in the distillery. So we do comparative tastings of vodka and gin. So it's not sort of a stitch up. We've got some pretty good vodkas and gins on our lineup. It's all about sort of letting people know what like vodka actually is, what gin actually is, because there's a lot of misconceptions and things like that. The issue we find with vodka is generally people, when they first into the big wide world of spirits, they go for the vodka, they might write themselves off, and then they're not really interested anymore. So it's a bit of a shame. It's a really subtle, wonderful spirit. We're trying to get people in and sort of let them know what they're missing out on and how they can appreciate it. So we take them through, we explain the history of distillation, how it came about, the process, and then we go through and we try 3 different vodkas, one of which is ours, and then you've got 2 other very good vodkas, and sort of people gain an understanding. We do the same for the gin as well. So history, different botanicals, and then try 3 different gins. Now very pleasant night out.
That sounds like a pretty decent way to sort of get yourself exposed to the Hippocampus range. But is there another, like, can we also get it from other places?
Yeah, so we're nationally available through Dan Murphy's. We've received a lot of support through local independent bottle shops. So Celebrations Carlisle, places like Main Liquor, and also through the small bar scene in Perth especially. Like, a lot of wonderful bars have decided to throw their weight behind us. So Dominion League, Mechanics, Flower Factory, Frisk, many, many places you can get our gin and vodka. And if you don't, please ask at the bar if they can order some in. I'll drop it up myself.
Cool.
You're the delivery man as well. Good on you.
Yeah, we're a very small business. There's only 2 full-time employees, so we all wear a lot of hats.
I imagine.
It has to be like that. I think you can taste the love in it otherwise, can't you?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Hey, it's been a honestly, I could talk about the processes behind making this kind of stuff all day, but sadly time has run away from us. But it's been great to chat, and we'll have to go check the website, because it's a pretty funky website too. If you Google Hippocampus, it's a pretty cool spot to spend some time. Distiller, out there in West Perth, Alex Paulson, great to chat this morning.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you very much for having us, guys. Have a wonderful morning.
Cheers. It's 27 to 8 now.